Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bunbury Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to News, National Israeli Service. All right, MTA, that's MTA Queensland, MTA Institute, leading automotive innovation. And the MTA Institute expands popular auto-ready program to regional Queensland, the leading industry-owned provider of automatic apprenticeships in training in Queensland, is expanding its popular auto-ready program to the regions. High school students from across Cairns, Rockhampton and Townsville will have the opportunity to get hands-on experience working with real vehicles while exploring the many exciting and prosperous career pathways available in the automotive industry. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Marcello Riota, director of the MTA Institute, and we have Marcello on the line. Good morning, Marcello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, my friend?
I'm in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. Okay, big cheddar. Thank you very much. Director of the MTA Institute. So we're talking about leading automotive innovation and expanding this fantastic program, popular auto ready program. It's a good thing. So you're driving it forward, partner punt.
We are driving it forward. We're based out of Brisbane,
yes.
MTA Queensland, but there's definitely an appetite through, we are MTA Queensland, not MTA Brisbane. So industry tell us we need to get involved with the regions and
yes.
hence the expansion into Cairns and Townsville, Mackay, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's talk about the Popular Auto Ready program. Tell us what the program's all about and let's talk about the expansion, my friend.
Yeah, sure. So basically, it's an introductory into automotive. So what we find is certainly there's some misconceptions or, some old wives' tales about automotive. So we really thought we need to let students know and have not only just in terms of a website or flyers or discussions, but really have an interactive session with them where they get to do some hands-on. So they do an introductory, they do a couple of units of competence, which is part of the automotive training package. But what that means is they actually spend a week actually doing hands-on practical tasks associated with automotive. So they get a real sense of it.
Sure.
Like everyone, it's a bit of a try before you buy.
Yeah.
Some of the kids that come have never, swung a spanner. Some of them are already tinkering at home, whether it's on boats, motorbikes, cars, etc. So it sort of caters for anyone in school that wants to have a bit of a taste of the automotive program.
Look, when you talk about bush mechanics, so to speak, and a dying industry, you could say, with the vehicles that come to the table now, this day and age, 21st century, all electronic and all the different tools, what have you. So you could say it's a whole new ball game, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely, we still need those skills, so those mechanical skills. So regardless if it's a Tesla or if it's an old patrol, we still need those mechanical skills because underneath all the electronics, we've still got a mechanical device. So we still need those old school mechanical skills. But on top of that, we've got a layer of electronics which we need to navigate through. So there are some new skills that need to be learned. So with people in industry, existing mechanics, we're constantly upgrading ourselves in terms of vehicles that are electric, vehicles that drive themselves. So it is a new sector, but it's an evolution of an existing mechanical device. So we've still got brakes, steering, suspension, an engine in most cases that we deal with in the mechanical side of things.
And Marcello, we are talking both males and females too, aren't we?
Absolutely. So, MTAQ, as the peak body in automotive, we're committed to try to get some gender equality.
Yes.
And, the reality is we'll never have equality, but we definitely see that as an industry we're missing out on a very large workforce being the females. And you know what? I've been doing it for a little bit, and I would never tell my wife that, but females actually do things a bit better than blokes.
Well, the girls can do anything. Yes, that's right. Exactly.
They read instructions, follow directions.
They listen, yes.
They read the manual,
act,
all that
yes.
stuff that we try to get through.
Mm, the male counterpart, we tend to, like, don't tell me about boats. Don't tell me about yep. cars.
yeah, exactly right. Exactly. I know everything.
Well, fantastic. And how are you expanding it to the community? Expanding.
Yeah, so,
what are you doing?
So
in which areas and
yeah,
what dates and
yeah, so
what have you?
For sure. Sorry, mate. So what we did was we sort of proof of concept in Brisbane where we had all our resources, so the workshop, equipment, the people, and MTAQ or MTA Institute has trainers and members all through Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
So when we proved the concept in Brisbane, we thought, well, there's an opportunity to mobilise it. And it's actually funded by the state government,
okay.
and they have an expectation to also to support the regions and
yes.
remote areas of Queensland as well. So we're always going to expand it. But what it needed is some careful planning and resourcing, et cetera. So the way we've been able to mobilise it is actually partnering with members.
Mm-hmm.
So MTAQ have automotive members through Queensland.
Yep.
So the one in Cairns in particular, we're actually working, we're partnering with our one of our members, Cairns Customs. So Wazza out there, he's supplying the physical location, which is an existing workshop
yep.
where they do mechanical repairs, do all manner of repairs, electronic accessories, etc. So they've actually made some room for us. And we've partnered, so we've actually got a physical location. What we do is we provide all the learning material and the trainers that come out and deliver. So that was the only way we'll ever get to the regions, by partnering with our members in the different regions.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned high school students. So we're talking about high school students still in school doing the program? Or people who left school can do the program, yes?
So they still need to be, to eligibility is that you're at school.
Okay.
What that means is that they have to do it in their school holidays. So that's
sure.
the intent
right,
of the
yeah.
program.
Yes.
So it doesn't affect their schooling, so they can still concentrate on their normal schoolwork. And it's actually a school holiday program.
Okay.
So one of the criteria for the funding, by all means, we run other different style courses.
Mm.
But this one here is really, the target is to give school students an opportunity to experience automotive industry without affecting their normal day-to-day
Good.
School. So it's a week. The course runs for 5 days, and we run it in school holiday.
And school holiday, instead of fishing or kicking a football, get educated in the automotive industry. Fantastic.
Correct. Yeah.
Hey, nice talking with you, Marcella. Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing. And we will yarn soon, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Look forward to it. I'm sure it'll be a great event up in Cairns, and it'll be well supported by industry and the school. So I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You take care. Bye-bye.
Great. Bye-bye.
Adele Yande, Marcello Riotto, his name is, director of the MTA Institute, MTA Leading Automotive Innovation. So they're expanding, the Institute is expanding the popular Auto Ready program to regional Queensland, so which is fantastic. So look, check with your check with your schools, so check with your principals and what have you, and regarding this program. It is a program that's in your school holidays, so you've got to be a student, school, and you're doing 5 days a week on the holidays. So just being productive with your time, that's all it is. We've all got 24 hours a day. It's just what you do with your time. So it's about sacrificing your holiday, your fishing and kicking a football and that sort of stuff, and getting educated in this space, and it creates a foundation. If you love the automotive industry, there could be a career pathway there for you. So fantastic. Have your say, Jan Upstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We've got the news coming up very soon, so stay tuned for that. This is a one-hour program, National Talk Black, and we're coming to an end of the program for today. And you can always add to the conversation by calling that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We do have a text number as well. Text us if you've got any queries or information or statement, 0457140550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. A big shout-out to the BBM team here, management, staff, crew, and board of directors. Thank you for allowing Trinity Trev to steer this vehicle, pardon the pun, when we're talking about leading automotive innovation. Trinity Trev driving this vehicle forward, National Talk Black, been doing it for 11 years. Love the program, love delivering the program, and it's a team effort. So big shout out to Bummer Bipper Media and also NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to your mob down there, based there at BEMA, Brisbane Digital Media Association, a team effort in more ways than one. Otherwise, stay tuned. Got the news coming up very soon via NERS. And look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
This old town won't be the same. Even though things never change, sit there hiding in the heat and the haze. We'll miss you, brother, all our days. We'll miss you, brother, all our days. The sun comes up and the sun goes down on that sleepy northern town. The tide comes in and the tide goes out. Time waits for no one. You'll find out. Time waits for no one. You'll find out.
National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from Macquarie via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumblebit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister Danielle Snelling, co-founder and executive at Motherless Daughters Australia. Now, this is a new welfare study sheds light on impacts of mother loss. A new welfare study is shedding light on the impacts of mother loss on Australian women in an effort to inform future support pathways with community reports that grief is being dismissed by society. In Australia, approximately 1.2 million women have experienced mother loss before the age of 44. Motherless Daughters Australia is encouraging people experiencing grief to ensure they're included up on a variety of treatment pathways when talking to their GP. Look, with that, we've got Danielle on the line. Danielle, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a beautiful space. So you're the co-founder, executive at Motherless Daughters Australia. And look, it's a powerful space, and it's very sad. We have our deadly sisters out there losing their mothers at very young age. So tell us how it all started for you in regarding Motherless Daughters Australia.
Yeah, look, I was just 23 when my mum died, and it was a really lonely and isolating experience for me. I didn't have anyone who really understood what it was like to lose their mum young. Mm. So I really just knew that what would help me was to connect with somebody else the same age who really understood, probably more so about, you know, my whole life ahead of me and all the milestones that were going to come that my mum would no longer be a part of.
Yes.
So I put a message out on social media back in 2013, and a lady called Eloise responded, and the two of us met up in a cafe not long after, and she was a lot younger than me when her mum died. She was only 13 when she died.
Okay.
So we chatted for hours, actually, and it was just the most powerful, empowering, validating experience that I had had, just to have that first-hand level of understanding.
Yes.
And we've been really close friends ever since, and from that initial conversation, we got so much from it. So we just kind of asked ourselves, how many other women out there are like us who are missing their mum and who are lonely in their grief?
Yes.
And what can we do to support them? And so we started the organisation.
I was just saying, and we're having a quick chat off air there, but your beautiful mother, Eloise's beautiful mother, are working from the other side. For this to come into fruition, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the power of our mothers. They're still with you in spirit. Mm. I got goosebumps here, my goosebumps, but it is powerful. I lost my mother 11 years ago, but I'm not a female, but I'm a male, but I wasn't a young person. But, yeah, it's a very sad situation and sad space, but it's great that you've created this space now. There can be conversations and nurturing and support and, you know, helping each other. It's a great space.
Yeah, absolutely. Conversation is so important, isn't it? It's the pathway to all sorts of really positive outcomes.
Can you tell us more about the research findings?
Yeah, we had to do the research because our community was growing really quickly. So we've got a community now of over 25,000 women.
Okay.
And as a growing and emerging organisation, we needed to make sure that we had information about their experiences so that we could tailor our support and respond adequately to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So the research has revealed that mother loss has a significant impact on the quality of life of adult daughters, and it also has a mental and physical health impact as well.
Yes.
So many women are experiencing things like depression, anxiety, stress, sleep disturbance, and even pain.
So what does grief following the death of a mother hit daughters in particular, so hard?
Yeah, we know that same-gender parent-child relationships are really unique and special, but we know that the mother-daughter relationship is just really profound. Like, daughters look to their mum for identity formation, and then they further establish that identity through their relationship with their mum, whereas research tells us it's the same for sons in terms of their dads, usually.
Sure.
Isn't every case, of course, but generally that's what happens. And so when a mum dies and the daughter's left behind, so much of that identity is wrapped up in that relationship. So it is severed in more ways than one.
Yeah, for sure. What challenges has the community has faced in relation to medical treatment in the wake of grief?
Yeah, this is really disappointing for us because society just isn't well equipped to deal with grief.
Okay.
And unfortunately, so many women in our community voice their experiences every day of their grief being dismissed or even pathologised and diagnosed as a mental illness instead of just acknowledging that it's grief.
Sure.
So unfortunately, we're seeing so many women being prescribed antidepressants really soon after their mum has died. And medication is important where it's appropriate and, of course, where there is a pre or coexisting mental illness at play.
Sure.
But we are seeing medication being prescribed to treat grief, which is unacceptable. You know, grief is a really normal and natural process, and to have those feelings numbed by medication is such a disservice.
Well, exactly. And that's what medication does. It numbs it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, we hear from women who were prescribed this medication very early on, and then 20, 30 years later, they're now having to actually deal with their grief because they weren't afforded that opportunity or the platform to do so in a way that society should allow, but we don't, because we're so uncomfortable with hard conversations or difficult emotions.
But that's good medicine, the conversations, isn't it? Best medicine in the world.
Exactly right. Mm. You know, hold space, validate, encourage conversation, not, you know, sweeping things under the rug or numbing with medication is just asking for issues further down the track.
Yeah. And so, Danielle, what advice do you have for women who have lost their mum or those who have a friend experiencing this?
I think the first thing is really important for not just girls who have lost their mum, but anybody grieving someone that they love, is that the response is really normal, and not to let society's unrealistic expectations sway your own mind in thinking that there is something wrong with you. Don't second guess or self-doubt that you're behaving or responding in a way that's not normal, because it's very normal.
Yes.
It's okay to be sad, and it's still okay to be sad even if that loss occurred 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Yes.
There's times throughout the year that make those losses felt more keenly. So, you know, milestone days, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas. There's all sorts of things that bring it up, and that's okay.
That's okay. And fantastic.
Exactly right. Yeah, beautiful. You know, you have to express how you feel, and for others to expect us to, you know, keep all that inside is really unfair. So we encourage anyone supporting someone who is grieving to avoid comments like, you know, your person wouldn't want you to be sad or they're in a better place, because it really does dismiss how a griever is feeling, and it just is totally a conversation shutdown.
Yeah.
We want to encourage conversation around it, hold space for that person. If you don't know what to say, just acknowledge what they're saying and, you know, this must be really hard, or I'm here for you, or ask them about their person.
Sure, exactly. Look, Danielle Snelling, thank you so much, co-founder and executive at Motherless Daughters Australia. Where can Australians go to find out more about this beautiful space?
Our website is home to all sorts of fact sheets and resources, and that's at motherlessdaughters.com.au. Okay. And we're also on all social media platforms under Motherless Daughters Australia.
Beautiful. Thank you for your yarn. Look, stay strong, my sister. I think it's a beautiful platform. And like I said, your mother's working with you on the other side, and she's with you. Danielle, thank you. All the best. You keep smiling. We'll yarn soon, sister.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, Danielle. Bye-bye. Danielle Snelling, her name is, co-founder and executive at Motherless Daughters Australia. So New World First study sheds light on impacts of mother loss. So if you're that way inclined, look, do check out their webpage, Google Mother Loss Daughters Australia, and you'll be able to find it. Look, a beautiful platform to empower you and to have that connection with your beautiful mother. And I yarn with my mother all the time, every day. Love you, Mum. Have you say yarn up strong. Daily yarn here on National Talk Black. I'm your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji country. BBN Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly.
Men's who roam through creeks we paddle. I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yarnum, to yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarnum, strong you mob, too deadly. All right, now Shellhaven, First Nations Film Festival. We're talking first ever First Nations Film Festival on the New South Wales South Coast, and celebrates the diversity and creativity of First Nation filmmakers across Australia and the courage and resilience of the storytellers, some of who come from South Coast and building on the legacy of early First Nation filmmakers. And the program includes recent works of Indigenous young Indigenous filmmakers, including Be Proud, Voice for Country, a short film made by students from Vicentia High School and then the Indigenous Literary Foundation, who we were just talking about. So we're going to catch up a yarn with Uncle Jerry Moore, OAM, and also Gillian McKay, a Yuin elder, festival developer and organiser. We've got them both online. Very good morning. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Yeah,
Wallowani.
Good. Uncle Jerry there, yes?
Yep.
And Gillian, eh?
Yeah.
Gillian, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk to you and to your audience. Right,
yeah, good, program. Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, start with you, Gillian. Who are you, mob? Where are you from?
Oh, look, I'm non-Indigenous.
Well, welcome, my sister.
Gillian and I are walking together on the office. Good. So he's your man.
Yeah, welcome, my sister. Beautiful. And Uncle Jerry?
Collaboration.
Yes. Who are you, mob? Where are you from, Uncle?
I'm from the Yuin country down here on the south coast. And yes. My mob's Wadi Wadi in Jiringa and Wandi Wandandian. And, so
beautiful.
I've been a long-standing part of the community down here for... Forever,
of course, forever. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations, Shellhaven First Nation Film Festival. And just to confirm, this is the first ever First Nation Film Festival on the New South Wales South Coast, yes?
Yeah, as far as we're aware.
Good.
And, you know, it's something that we're really proud of being able to put together. And it's come off the back of the referendum.
Yes.
Both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, or we call them our imperfect allies,
yes,
as, you know, wanted to learn more about our mob and how they can help us.
Fantastic.
And walk with us.
And walk with us, exactly. Now, we're talking the Shellhaven First Nations Film Festival, 2022 September. They're the date claimers. People need to put those dates aside and attend.
That's correct, Trevor.
And we're talking about a program including 4 feature films, 7 documentaries, 13 short films across 6 sessions. Fantastic. And we are storytellers, are we not, Uncle Jerry?
We sure are. And, you know, there's a couple of really good storytelling films in amongst all of the ones that we're showing. And a lot of them revolve around our local mob down here.
Yes.
And... you know, it's just awesome.
Good.
Because, you know, Trevor, we're really good storytellers way, way back.
We are, yes.
And it's a really good way of communicating with our non-Aboriginal brothers and sisters and bringing them along with us.
Exactly. Well, it's a celebration, but it's also a vehicle to educate. And as you say, having our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters join us and look at a beautiful vehicle, a beautiful platform.
Yep, sure is. And, you know, what better way to do it than storytelling and highlighting and encouraging young filmmakers to own their craft.
Exactly. So, Gillian, we've adopted you. You're part of the clan now, aren't you?
I'd be absolutely honoured to be part of the clan. Yeah, we call her Auntie.
Yeah, good. And what's Auntie Gillian? What's the hat that you wear?
You go.
I am one of the organisers of the festival and help to put the program together.
Yeah,
and
good.
As Uncle Jerry said, we were looking to put together a program that both celebrated the creativity and diversity of First Nations filmmakers, but also could show how film was used to promote Aboriginal voices in the past. And this has been particularly relevant in the last 12 months, as Uncle Jerry said, following the referendum.
Yeah, look, it's a powerful tool, and Are we talking young and old, male and females, as filmmakers at the table?
Yep, for sure. One movie in particular highlights two mobs from down here, Trevor, the Gerringer mob and the Wreck Bay mob, and the coming together and telling the stories of our spiritual ancestors and why it was important not to build a nuclear power plant in our area and to stop the Navy from bombing. They had a bombing range with, that they used for target practice, and it was destroying our land.
Yeah. So that shows how strong we are in regard to our voices and protecting country, you could say, Uncle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. And a lot of strong people, and we're still learning from the older ones too, as you know, Trip.
Yeah, we are.
Aunty Delia Lowe, who is one of the leading knowledge holders and respected community members down here, she headlines a program called We Come From The Land. It's a really powerful story that helps people understand that whole thing that you and I and many, many, many of our listeners know about the connection to country.
Exactly, exactly. And look, we're holding the reins in regarding our stories, and we share to, like I said, to educate and entertain, but also inform people. So very, very important. Gillian, if people wanted to buy tickets, how do they go about it, and what are the costs? Would you be able to tell us that?
Yes, they can buy tickets by going on to the festival website, and you just need to Google Shoalhaven First Nations Film Festival.
Yep.
That takes you to the website, and the tickets are available online from that that session. I'm actually, Trevor, delighted to be able to tell you that the two of the sessions on our Sunday morning, the one that focuses on Aboriginal activism, first captured on film way back in 1933, and then going on to films told by local members of the First Nations communities, as Uncle Jerry just pointed out, the oldest of those is in fact the film We Come From The Land. And those two sessions are now nearly booked up.
We've
got, say, 3 weeks to go before the festival. And we it shows the level of interest amongst both the Indigenous and the non-Indigenous populations down here in understanding more about the Aboriginal culture, connection to land, and their contribution to the area in which we live.
Beautiful. Look, it becomes a powerful tool in regarding bringing people together, you know, black and white. And look, sharing culture, we're talking 60,000 years, so it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, it sure is, Trevor. And, you know, we've involved the local community.
Good.
Like, we'll have our mob who own a cafe down here. They'll be doing the catering.
Yes.
And, you know, our young lads who will probably be doing the smoking ceremony. Mm. And so we've got a lot of involvement and input from our local area.
Yes.
Which is really important, as you know, because if things aren't driven by our mob, then they're frowned upon. So
Exactly. And, people get a chance to walk a mile in our moccasins, so to speak, you know, walk a mile in our shoe and get educated. Want to wish you guys all the best. And look, it's the first one ever, First Nation Film Festival on the New South Wales South Coast. So inaugural and hopefully making an annual event, I reckon, Uncle.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to not just educate, as you said, Trev, but highlight particular issues that might be going on on the day, sort of thing. So
exactly.
It's going to be really important to continue this trend.
Yes, and keep the yarns going strong. Uncle, thank you so very much. Listen, all the best to you. And Gillian, thank you so very much. And people can go to the webpage or Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival, and they can look at the order of what's happening for those 3 days, but also purchase tickets. And Yeah, Googling another day, opportunity to get educated and enjoy and entertain. But thank you both very much, and all the best to you guys, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thank you, brother, and Wallawani to all your listeners and you, okay?
Yep, thank you. Gillian, all the best, sis. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
To Delhi, beautiful yarn there. Uncle Jerry Moore, OAM, and offside there, Gillian McKay. And he's an elder and developer and organiser. And look, talking about the Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival happening 20th to the 22nd of September. Huskisson Pictures, that's 19 Sydney Street, Huskisson. And look, fantastic. Go to the webpage or check out Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival and look at tickets and look at the actual event and what's happening. So do check it out, your mob. Have you seen Yanup Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
Come over, me sexy body gal.